so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Man, God is good. I'm so excited. So excited about the word that God's given me for you today. Just so excited about it. I know that God wants to minister to you, encourage you. I know that you're going to be inspired and you're going to be encouraged. But I really believe there are a lot of people who are watching with us this morning that are going to be reminded about the goodness of God. They're going to be reminded about the power of God. They're going to be reminded to activate the power of God within them. And I love a good message that doesn't just inspire people, doesn't just encourage people, but helps us remember the power of our God and the goodness of our God. Amen. Amen. Hey, before you take your seats wherever you are, I'm going to read a scripture. Thank you guys. You're amazing. Love you. I'm going to read a scripture to you. But before we do that, I just want to give you some details of what's happening next week. At this stage, it is our plan to resume in-person gatherings on the 16th and the 17th of May. Come on. Hallelujah. We have put a lot of thought, a lot of work into that opportunity. And our service times also change next weekend. They will be 6 p.m. on Saturday night, 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, and 1 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And the service times have changed just to add extra time between services for sanitizing and cleaning all of our facilities. And so that's super exciting. A couple of other things, just so you know. If the camera, you can pan, cameraman, pan. Show them the room, all right? We have some staff in here right now. So God bless you. Welcome to church, staff. But the room has sheets blocking off every second row. And so we've lowered the capacity of our auditorium. And we've got it so that all the seats are separated. The other thing we've got, though, and this is super exciting, is we came to a deal with our friends next door at Seven Flags, or what was Seven Flags Event Center, and we're actually able to use their 3,000-seat auditorium. And we're only going to have a couple of hundred seats in there. So we can have a couple of hundred people here, and then we can have another couple of hundred in our overflow auditorium next door. Come on. And you'll have the whole service on a big screen. And you'll be able to worship the Lord knowing there's a couple of hundred people in the room worshiping God with you. So no matter how many people come to our four services, we've got space for you to feel safe, be physically distant, but socially together. Amen. And so it's just going to be a great experience. And we're also making sure that all of our volunteers don't have fevers and things like that. So you don't need to be afraid to come to church. If you're ready to come next weekend, you're welcome to come. If you're not ready, you're welcome. And we encourage you to continue to worship with us online at myeternity.com. And there will be no shame. There is therefore no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're not going to shame people who don't feel ready to join us yet. So God bless you. But enough about next week. Let's talk about this week, all right? Let's talk about this week. Acts 1:8-9 says, some people might receive a little bit of power if the Holy Spirit comes into your life. No, it does not say that. But you, someone say, will. Come on, online, someone yell it out. Will. You will receive power. Power, or as y'all would say, power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sights. Come on. Hey, before you take your seats, though, I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to look them right in the eye and say, get ready. Come on, say it like Liam Neeson, get ready. Get ready. If you're on your own and no one in your house is joining you, I want you to yell out, get ready, so your neighbors can hear and text you, what are you yelling and screaming about? And you can text back and say, I got the Holy Ghost. I want you to yell it out. Come on, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, let's pray. I'm ready. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did not abandon us. Thank you that you have not abandoned us. And thank you that you'll never abandon us. Thank you that you'll never leave us, but instead of leaving us, you left us with your Holy Spirit so that we would have all the power that we need to be all that you've called us to be, to do all that you've called us to do, to miraculize all that you've called us to miraculize. God, we thank you that you gave us an imagination to invent words like miraculize, to better proclaim and understand how awesome your power is. God, help us to get ready and to be ready for all that you are doing in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, amen. I'm ready. I'm ready. You may take your seats. Does anybody else in this room or in your room, does anybody else love the feeling of having a gas tank full of gas? Or for those of those who are joining us from Australia, a petrol tank full of petrol. Come on. Does anybody else just love the feeling of a full gas tank? Yeah? Yeah, you do? You love the feeling of a full gas tank? Right? When your gas tank's full, you feel like, man, no matter where I gotta go, I'm ready to go. Right? No matter what happens, I'm ready for it. Right, if the zombie apocalypse happens tonight, now FYI, my gas tank is full, or was when I pulled up to church this morning. If it's not afterwards, somebody on this live stream went and milked my tank, all right? But as I pulled up, it was full. So I'm ready. If the zombie apocalypse happens tonight, oh, my family, we have all the gas that we need to go out rural somewhere. Come on. But for real, I love it when I have a full gas tank. Because I know that I don't have to do this for 4 days, maybe a whole week till I have to do this again. But you know what sucks about my truck? It won't ever start without the keys. It just won't run without the keys. I mean, I reckon I lose my keys 5-6 times a week. Like, I lose my keys all the time. In fact, that's why my keys are hanging from the side of my belt right now. It's not because I want to be like Aaron Ward. It's because I keep losing my keys all the time, right? And I mean, like, this is just new, like a week or two deep of hanging my keys on the side. It's fantastic. I still lost them this week somehow. But I reckon I lose my keys all the time. I don't know how I do it. I don't know why I lose my keys. You ask Shanna, my executive assistant. She spends 95% of her time looking for my stuff, right? Where'd he put his phone? Where'd he put his Bible? Where'd he put his keys? Where'd he put his kids, right? Like, I lose them. And my wife does the same thing. I'd be lost without them. I don't know how I do it because usually I actually have a pretty good memory. So it's weird. But what usually happens is I come home, I'm on the phone, or I get to the office or something, and I'm on the phone, and as I'm walking around talking to the person on the phone, I randomly place my keys somewhere. Can anyone else do this? You just pop them down somewhere, just plop them down, and I just keep walking around on the phone. But while I'm on the phone, I'm not paying any attention to anywhere that I've been, right? Like, anyone else, when you're on the phone, you just roll into autopilot? Like, how'd they get here? Why am I wearing these shoes? I wasn't wearing this earlier. Like, I'm just on autopilot. Sometimes when I get in my car on the phone, I just drive to the entirely wrong destination. Like, how'd I get here? Worse, I don't even remember driving there. I literally pull up at church when I was supposed to go to Hy-Vee, and I'm like, I have no memory of driving to church. Like, zero. I don't remember speeding up or stopping at any traffic lights. I've just materialized in the parking lot at church. I don't know what I was supposed to get. Was I out to get milk? Was I out to get bread? Was I supposed to get some tenderloins? Was I supposed to get some gas? I don't know. All I remember is on my way out, my wife saying, can you go and get some? Some what? I don't even know. I didn't hear anything after some because I was on the phone and I'm on autopilot. So I get home with, I don't know, maybe what I was supposed to get or maybe something completely different. And I'm walking around the backyard, upstairs, downstairs, the bathroom, the toilet. I don't know. I don't even know if I went to the toilet on the phone. You know, because you heard it flush. I don't have a memory of it anymore. And so then I'm like, it's time to go find my keys. And I can't find my keys anywhere. I have found them in the weirdest places. Like I found them on my windscreen wipers, because like, I don't know, and I've gone for a drive downtown like that with the spare key and then got out of the car. Oh, there they are. I found my keys in the freezer. Like, I didn't even know what that was about. Like, I don't even remember eating a popsicle while I was on the phone, but I did, obviously. Like, I have even found my keys inside a Tupperware container inside the fridge. Like, how do you put your keys in a Tupperware container, close it up, whack it in the fridge, and think in your subconsciousness, that's a safe spot for them? I don't know how I did that. I've enlisted my wife's help to find the keys. Honey, I can't find my keys. And then Lauren walks in and goes, there they are on the bench right there. And I know for a fact they were not there. And she's looking at me like I'm stupid, dumber than a box of rocks or something. And I'm looking at her like she's involved in witchcraft or wizardry or something, because I know that wasn't the Holy Ghost. They weren't there earlier. I go insane looking for my keys. I'm so frustrated when I can't find my keys, because I've got places to go. I've got things to see, things to do, things to experience. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on, do you go insane when you're looking for your keys? When you have gas in your car? Oh, your car's ready to go. You've got all the power that you need, but you can't find the keys. And I know and believe that so many Christians are living their lives like that. There's so much that God wants you to experience. There's so much you want to experience. There's so many places that God wants to take you. So many things God wants to give you, but you can't find the keys, and so you're stuck living in frustration, living in fear, living in anger, living in hurt because you can't find the keys. And then there are people who don't even have gas in the tank, so even if they found the keys, it wouldn't do them any good anyway. Today, church, I want to talk to you about how you can get gas in your tank and a set of keys to drive the car, amen? I want to talk to you about how you can get some Holy Ghost power and the keys to use it in your life. Someone say amen. So that you've got the keys to drive your life right out of crisis and directly into victory, directly into favor in Jesus' name. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message called The Instability of Normal. And you got to get that message if you missed it. In fact, we're going to play that message on Wednesday night again. I really feel like that's a message that'll bless your life. We're going to replay it this Wednesday night at 7:15 on Facebook and on YouTube. In the message, The Instability of Normal, I preached about how God is still talking to us. How God is still moving and wants us to move with Him. How if we do not keep hearing His voice and following His lead, we're building a house on sand. See, we don't want to get stuck doing what we've always done because that's the way we've always done it. We want to continually ask God, God, what's next? God, what's next? Thank you for doing that in my life. God, what do you want me to do now? God, what's next? In fact, at one point, the disciples were so stuck on what they had done and what they had experienced that God had to send an angel to tell them to move on towards what He wants them to experience. See, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were staring at the sky. They were shocked. They were amazed. They were concerned. Jesus, where did you go? They just kept staring. I don't know if you remember, but Pastor Sean was on the stage with me. We were just staring. The disciples were just staring at the clouds, staring at the sky where Jesus was, and they weren't paying any attention to what He had already commanded them to do. Come on, they stood there desperate for what they had experienced in the past, and they'd already forgotten to do the next thing that God had already told them to do. They stood there for so long that God had to send an angel and say, guys, knock it off. There's more. I've got more. Come on, guys, move. Literally, the very last thing Jesus did before he ascended into heaven was tell you what's next. What did he say? I'm glad you asked. I know everybody just typed on Facebook and YouTube just then. What was next? What did he say? Well, just before he ascended, he literally told the disciples what's coming next. We just read it. We just read it before, Acts 1:8. And in Luke, Jesus tells them to go into the city and stay there and wait for what's next. You're about to receive the Holy Spirit. You're about to receive power. Come on, power from on high. Power from heaven. And I feel like now, more than ever, church, I want extra help from heaven. Now more than ever, I want a little extra power. I want a little extra wisdom. But church, guess what? I've already got it. Come on, if you don't get it, I'm bragging right now. I've already got it. I got a little extra help. I got a little extra power. I got a little extra wisdom. I got it. Oh, my gas tank is full. Hey, what am I saying? We are a spirit-filled church. Most of us have asked and received the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he's not telling us, he's not telling you and me to go into the city and wait for the gift that will come. We don't need to wait because he's already poured out his Spirit on us. Jesus was talking to believers before the Holy Spirit had come, and he was telling them to go and get ready. How did they get ready? By being filled with the Holy Spirit and power. See, most of us have already been filled with the Spirit. And if you have been filled with the Spirit, then praise God. You don't need to get ready. You already are ready. Come on. You already got everything that you need. See, I'm ready because I'm a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost preaching, fired up, charismatic, full gospel preacher. Amen. And I'm ready. I'm ready for breakthrough. I'm ready for God's favor. I'm ready for more blessing. I'm ready for more wisdom because my tank is full. And I hope your tank is full too. But if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, number one, just ask God. Just ask God. But we're working on how to get our Holy Spirit course up and running soon, online or in person. We're working on it. We're figuring it out. We're figuring it out. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to people right now who do have the Holy Spirit, though, and feel empty. You got to spend time in the presence of God asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit fresh again. See, Scripture doesn't say that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. End of story. It says that we should be filled continually. To be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. To be filled continually. Why is my tank full? Because I'm being filled continually. Standing in the presence of God saying, God, Holy Spirit, fill me with power. Fill me with wisdom. Holy Spirit, come on, fill me up. Come on, fill me up, Holy Spirit. If you feel empty, you got to spend some time in the presence of God asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit fresh again. See, people who say that the Holy Spirit was just for the apostles and just for the disciples are wrong because Scripture said there that the Holy Spirit of power so that we can be his witnesses in Jerusalem, yay. In Judea, yay, they tick that box. In Samaria, yay, they tick that box. But then it goes on and says to the uttermost parts of the earth, they didn't tick that box. But we're ticking it today, amen. So the Holy Spirit is still for you today, amen. It's in the presence of God, in praise and worship, that we simply ask God, God, fill us afresh again, and he does. See, it's like going to the servo or the gas station and asking the service station attendant, fill up my tank, and he does. See, Scripture says that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power. Power to be his witness, power to overcome, power to have victory. Victory. In fact, Paul said, the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in us. Lives in us. But so many of us have been filled with power, had our gas tank full, and lost the keys. And the devil tricks people who are full of power into living in fear. The devil tricks people who are full of power and the Holy Spirit into believing that they have no weapons to fight back with. You see, so many good Christians who used to live in victory, who used to live in power, who used to live in boldness, lose their keys. People who used to scare the devil out of the devil, now scared of the devil. It's like they were going places, but at some point they got caught up in the rhythms of life, talking on the phone, and suddenly they don't even realize it, but they put their keys down somewhere. How does the devil do that? How does he get someone so full of faith, so full of the Holy Ghost and power to put down their keys and lose them? What even are your keys? Listen to me. Our keys are faith. And the devil steals them with fear. And I'm not talking about, see, right now everyone's like, faith over fear and faith over fear. And hey, listen up, I'm not trying to shame anyone who's got anxiety about what's been happening in the world. I'm not talking about whether or not you should get out of your house next week. I'm not talking about whether you should come to a church service here or somewhere else next week. I'm not talking about whether or not you should start dining at restaurants. And I'm certainly not talking about whether you should start licking door handles again if that's what you used to do. I'm talking about when you look at your future, what do you see? What do you see? Do you look at it and just be like, nah, done. It's all over, Red Rover. I'm talking about how the devil gets you so distracted by the rhythms of life that we don't even notice him replacing your faith with fear. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and power, it's like God has filled your gas tank. But you still need faith to activate the gift of God within you. Watch me, watch me. God may give you power, have filled you with power, but it still takes faith to pray for the sick. Come on, God may give you the gift of tongues, but it still takes faith to open up your mouth and to speak in tongues. Amen. Come on, God may have given you the gift of prophecy, but it still takes faith to unlock the gift and to declare a prophetic word into somebody's life. God has filled you with power, but it's still going to take faith to activate the favor of God in your life. Come on, you still need faith. Faith is the keys. Come on, you've had God fill up your gas tank, but it's time to take the keys back from the devil and unlock that power. You got to step out in faith, start up that truck, and run that son of a gun over in Jesus' name. We got to squish the devil. Run him over as we start up that truck and run him over. Come on. Because for you to actually experience what God is about to do in your life, you're going to need Holy Ghost power and a little bit of faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. The Bible shows us testimony after testimony after testimony of God bringing breakthrough after drought, famines followed by feasts, disaster followed by blessing, devastation followed by restoration, sickness followed by healing. I'm going to show you a couple of photos. Let's whack them up on the screen. Boom, abracadabra. These pictures are from areas of Australia that were destroyed by the bushfires earlier this year. And some of y'all are like, oh yeah, that happened. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, they're like, whatever happened to the bushfires in Australia? And I was like, I don't know, coronavirus, I think. Because nobody was talking about that anymore. But it did happen. It was destructive. It destroyed a lot of property. But these trees have already found a way to sprout. Look at that. Back to the tree. The tree had already found a way to sprout. Straight out the side. That's not where it normally grows from. But life has found a way. And look at these in the field. In the field, the shrubs are growing again. Look at that. There's green shrubbery and flowers growing in places that were devastated. See, God has always been about bringing life to dead places. Always. Always. You might feel like your life, your spirit, your soul, your relationships, all of that, you might feel like it's dead. Listen up. God has always, like always, brought life to dead places. Always. Even, in fact, before God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, it was nothing. It was void. There was nothing. There was nothing there. And God brought life. God spoke life. Amen. He's always been about that, bringing hope instead of hopelessness, bringing light instead of darkness. And so there's flowers and stuff growing where there was death and destruction. In Matthew chapter 6, God tells us how he loves his children so much more than the flowers in the field. So listen up. I want you to pay attention right now. God loves you more than the flowers in the field. And so if he's already bringing life back to a devastated, burnt field in Australia, how much more can we expect? The people of God will come out of this tragedy flying and soaring on wings like eagles, amen, running and not grown weary. Come on, hallelujah. We can expect that because we have the favor of God and the power of God and faith to unlock it, that we will come out of this tragedy better than any other people on earth. Every believer worldwide, billions and billions of believers, people looking at them and saying, how did you come out of this so blessed? And we'll say, because my heavenly Father loves me more than a flower in the field. I know, look at me. I declare it. I declare it in your life. He is doing it again. So you better get ready. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you better get ready. Come on, look at your spouse and say, baby, I'm ready. It is by God's power and your faith that you will step into the thing that God's about to do in your life. Listen up, listen up, listen up. Come on. It's a partnership between you and God. It's a partnership between the natural and the supernatural. It's a partnership. It's a covenant that God made with you. When you are filled with the Spirit, he said, here's the power. The faith is in your court. Are you going to take the steps of faith to lay hold of the blessing? You going to take the steps of faith? Come on, it's not just about there being power. It's about taking a step of faith and using the power. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac on the altar to the Lord. By faith, Abraham left his home and followed the word of the Lord to go to a place that God didn't even say. He just said, go and I will show you. Not I have, like they talk about walking in the dark by faith. Come on. By faith, Joshua marched around the city of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. By faith, Gideon went to war with only 300 men simply because they drank water a certain way out of a stream and won a tremendous victory. By faith, David fought Goliath and cut off his head. Sorry if there's kids watching. The Bible is R-rated. By faith, David took back what the Amalekites stole from them. By faith, you are going to take back what the Amalekites have stolen from you. By faith, Peter and John declared a healing at Gate Beautiful. I'm going to own the statements by faith. See, by faith, our church is going to go to new levels, conquer more devils. By faith, we're going to continue to bring hope and life to our cities and our state. By faith, we're going to buy Seven Flags or something one day. By faith, our food bank will feed thousands in these cities, thousands in these cities. By faith, we're going to be stronger in 12 months and win more souls in 12 months than we were 12 months ago. By faith, Eternity Church is the epicenter of hope and generosity in the state of Iowa. And speaking of generosity, because of our faith, we're going to come out of this even more generous than we went into this. Oh yeah, people say, well, this is a season to stop being generous. No, by faith, we're more generous now than we were before. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, maybe we gave $50,000 to a school last year. Well, I can't even wait to see what challenge God gives us this year. By faith, if you lost your job or if yours just simply sucks, by faith, you're going to get a new job. God's given you the power. Your faith is going to make it real. Faith says you'll declare it, that you'll speak of it. Faith says you'll apply for it. By faith, you're going to find healing in your relationships. Faith says you'll declare it. Faith says you'll pray and ask God for it. Faith is reaching out to the person, actually dialing them up, and they hang up. Dial them up again, and they hang up. Dial them up again, and they hang up. Faith says, roll it up again, roll it up again, roll it up again, roll it up again, until the day comes that restoration is in hand. By faith, you will find the love of your life. Declare it. Guys, put the video game down and ask her out. And by faith, pay for dinner. That's a word of the Lord for some dude out there. Oh, I'm into equality. Good. Me too. Buy her dinner. By faith, you will be healed. By faith, you will succeed. Come on, by faith, you're going to keep fighting. And I know there's a word for someone specifically right now. If you keep failing, I'm not saying everybody's failing, but if you keep failing, come on, this is the moment. 10:09 a.m. Sunday morning, someone's life is about to be changed. God's got a word for you. If you feel like you keep failing, go again. Go again. Let me encourage you, get up, get going. Keep the faith. Keep unlocking the power of the Holy Ghost in your life by faith. Even if you have to fail 10 more times, go again and again and again and again. Because what God promised you will come true. Because what God spoke into your heart will come true. Go again, go again, go again. There's a story in the Word of God about somebody banging on a door, asking for help. And people were like, go away, go away, it's 2 a.m., go away. And the person just kept banging and banging and banging. Listen up, bang again, knock again, run again, go again. Because the right one is on its way. It's like Thomas Edison. He said he found 10,000 ways not to build a light bulb before he found the exact right way. Faith keeps going. Faith opens its mouth and declares what God has spoken. And faith declares, if it isn't good, then God isn't finished yet. If it isn't good, then God isn't finished yet. Come on, just say it with me. If it isn't good, say it. God isn't finished yet. Come on, wherever you are, would you stand up with me? If it isn't good, God, with a capital G, isn't finished yet. God isn't finished yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just really believe that this is a word for some people that needed to hear it. Listen up. If you don't have a good story yet, then God's not done. I don't want to write the story before we find out what the ending is. In fact, you know when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, yeah, that was good, and that was good, and that was good. I like that. Not too shabby. Oh, I like the way the light bounces off the water. That's good. Then he made you, and he said, it's very good. So I'd perhaps even edit my statement and say that faith declares, if it isn't very good, God isn't finished yet. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to him. You've probably heard this sermon now enough to know that we believe with all of our heart that God loves you, that God's only got good plans for you, and that God wants to bless your life. There's a scripture that actually says that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. But listen up. I want you to be a part of that story. But you've got to be a child of God for that to be true, because not everything works out for everybody's benefit. You know that. But for those who love the Lord, God forces the devil's crappy plans to bless your life. The way I like to say it is, God gets wind of the devil's evil schemes and then adds Holy Ghost purpose. All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. This whole mess that we're in right now, this whole thing going on right now around the world, it will work out for your benefit if you give your life to Jesus Christ with me right now. It will. It will work out. It will work out. I know there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. You know, there's fear of the virus, or there's fear of economic outcomes, or there's fear of feeding families, and there's lots of different things. Step one to securing your future is give your life to Jesus Christ. So I want to pray a prayer with you right now. See, Scripture also says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you'll be saved. It does not say if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and stop sinning or stop looking at that or stop talking like that or stop drinking that or stop smoking that. None of that is in there. It simply says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. All right? If there's something wrong, if there's something in your life that you're doing that's hurtful to you, offensive to God, or destructive to others, God will speak to you about that when your heart is ready to have a victory there. But honestly, that's not what matters right now. What matters is that you simply give your life to Jesus Christ, start living the blessed life that He planned for you, and give Him an opportunity to force the crap of your past, the pain of your past, to bless your future. So pray this with me right now. I want you to pray it with me. Everyone, everywhere, pray it so nobody's alone. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins and rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you, help me to live this life the way you designed it, full of hope, joy, favor, and blessing. I commit my life to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, give me a shout of praise. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to go to myeternity.com/Jesus. Read up about how good God is and why He sent Jesus Christ to bless your life. You can also text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. And if you do that, we'll send you a gift in the mail just to bless you. A couple of things like a Bible and some worship CD and a gift card to one of our favorite local coffee shops. And it'll just be a way that we can bless you and help you discover all the wonder and the goodness of God. So do that. No matter where you live, you can do that. Just go to myeternity.com/Jesus. We want to bless you. Thank you so much for praying that prayer. In just a moment, we're going to pray for anyone who wants prayer this morning. But before that, I'm going to invite my friend, my good friend, my mate, Pastor Jed, who can rock a backward hat better than I ever could. We're going to invite my good friend, Pastor Jed, to share the offering word. And then as soon as we're done with that, I'm going to come back out and we're going to transition into a time of prayer. It's a beautiful time, so don't think that it will be funny. Just stick around, because in a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer online. Write it down, and the whole team and everybody else online is going to be praying for you. So please pay attention now to my mate, Pastor Jed.
Hey, church, we're going to do tithes and offerings. A couple ways for you to give. You can go to myeternity.com/give. You can also text the word eternity to the number 77977. And I just want to have a quick word on generosity. I've had the opportunity personally to speak with hundreds of people over the course of the past couple of months through our known feature on our website, just to connect with them during this time. And it's because of your generosity that our pastoral staff has been able to do that. It's because of your generosity that we're able to preach the gospel. It's because of your generosity that we're able to do things to look after, to love, and to bless our community, Central Iowa and beyond. So we're so grateful for your generosity, and we're so grateful for your giving. So I just want to pray for you and pray for every giver in this place and right there in your home. God, thank you so much, Lord, as we come together giving in your name, God. We thank you for every giver. I ask that you bless them, Lord, right where they are, Lord, and that their generosity literally would fuel what you want to do in this church, in Central Iowa and beyond. We thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And again, thank you so much for your generosity. I have been absolutely blessed and thrilled by the continued and the sustained generosity of the people of Eternity Church, making sure that we're able to be a light, to be salt and light to our communities. So God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you. And right now, though, we're going to transition to a time of prayer. And what we want you to do, if you want prayer, I want you to type it in to the comment section right now. And there's a team of people that all of my staff are online right now. They'll be praying for you as well. So they'll be writing prayers. And I want to encourage you, once you, you know, write your prayer request, go and reply to other people and start praying for them. This is a time of what I like to call community prayer. We're all just praying for each other, lifting each other up and believing for miracles in people's lives. Maybe you need to ask God, God, I need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Ask. We'll all be praying with you as well. Maybe you need to say, God, my faith has been struggling. I've had too much doubt, God. Would you help my faith rise up again? And we'll just start rebuking fear and rebuking the enemy and just praying that your faith would go to new levels again. So you can unlock your full potential, your whole, all the power of God in your life to live the life that He designed for you. Amen. So God bless you. I declare favor, healing, and blessing on every one of you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.